At Vistaprint, we know you've got that idea for your business, like the one that nails the trade show, levels up your brand, or makes your team say,
"We're really doing this."
But an idea is just an idea until it's printed on
signage, giveaways, custom apparel.
Once it's
in my hands, on my team, out in the world,
then it's happening.
It's so happening.
Vistaprint has thousands of products, easy design tools, and real support to turn that idea into something possible. Print your possible with code NEW20 for 20% off your first order at vistaprint.com.
Spring is finally here, and it's that time of year when plans start becoming real. Trips are getting booked, the calendar is filling up, and the energy is shifting. Make this season count. By starting right now, you'll hit summer already feeling more confident speaking and understanding a brand new language. Whether you're prepping for a dream vacation, reconnecting with your family heritage, or just finally checking learn a new language off your bucket list, Rosetta Stone is the way to go. They've been the trusted leader in language learning for over 30 years because they skip the boring stuff. There's no memorizing random vocabulary lists or leaning on chunky translations. Instead, their intuitive method helps you naturally absorb the language by connecting words and visuals to real-world meaning. It's about learning in context, the way language was actually meant to be learned. As a trusted expert with millions of users, Rosetta Stone offers 25 different languages, including Spanish, French, German, Japanese, and more. It really is the ultimate tool for genuine growth. Ready to start learning a new language this spring? Visit rosettastone.com/rs10 today to explore Rosetta Stone and choose the language that's right for you. Go to rosettastone.com/rs10 now and begin your language learning journey.
Summer routines live or die by how easy they are. And honestly, if something takes too much effort, I'm out. That's why Grunes is my go-to. It's one daily pack of gummies covering my greens, vitamins, and minerals. Plus, it has 6 grams of prebiotic fiber, which is more than 2 cups of broccoli. No mixing powders, no giant pills, no hassle. Just rip open the pack and I'm done. They taste good and it makes it easy to stay on top of my health, even when life gets busy. Save up to 52% off with code PODCAST at Grunes.co. That's code PODCAST at GRUNS.co.
Nerds. Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Ever Google a money question and end up 12 tabs deep with 12 different answers? This podcast is your shortcut back to clarity. NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast breaks down financial decisions with a team of trusted journalists. They explain the why behind decisions like investing, home buying, and choosing credit cards with clear, research-backed insights. No jargon, no misinformation. Make your next financial move with confidence. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast on your favorite podcast app.
The ultimate football team.
The ultimate football show.
Welcome to the Fantasy Football Hour.
On Sports Radio WEEI.
The most comprehensive, in-depth presentation anywhere concerning fantasy football. The Fantasy Football Hour is brought to you by Anderson Windows and your local Anderson Window dealer. By Moxie Soda. By Gould's Distinctive Clothing. And by Atlantic Power Cleaning. The fun and games starts now.
Welcome to the jungle. We've got fun and games.
Here's Jim Hackett and Pete Davidson.
All right, hello everybody. Jim Hackett, Pete Davidson. It is end of week four of the preseason, and it's the biggest fantasy football weekend of the year, and I'm joined by my good friend and our expert, Pete Davidson, on fantasy football. We're going to walk you right through it, man. How are you?
I'm good, buddy. How are you?
I'm good. About 6 drafts deep, a couple more to go. Feeling good, you know?
Yeah, good.
You and I have a big one coming up, another auction coming up.
I know. I'm looking forward to it.
Yep. It'll be a good time. And
I'm bid you up on everything you want.
Hey, look at man. I'm coming in with a lot of cash.
You're the elephant in the room.
You know, I'm unpredictable. I've got like 4 keepers all worth about $30. So
in that sense, I think we should just try to get along.
I would agree.
And hey, I was nice to you last weekend. Just be nice. Actually, it's the other way around, isn't it?
We were nice to you.
Yeah, the room was kind to me. That was a really weird experience. That really was.
That's the thing about
our audience has no idea what we're talking about.
Well, I'll tell them. So, like, we do. So, Pete and I are in a lot of drafts together. We do, you know, shocker. We do a lot of snake drafts. We have a couple great auction drafts that we do.
Yeah.
And just to kind of let you know how complicated, if you haven't done an auction, or if you're maybe best case scenario, if you're listening and you have an auction coming up, there's a podcast on Rotobon.com. It's literally like a 90-minute podcast. But the reason it is not to bore your pants off.
It's not just that I can't shut up.
Right. But there's a lot. There's so much nuance to an auction draft. That's really the deal, is that it's literally like a living, breathing thing, and it's unpredictable. We were in a draft last week where 11 of the people were, you know, relatively predictable in terms of their build strategy. And this one guy just went rogue, and he took like 12 running backs. He like, I mean, yeah, you couldn't get a running back.
Everybody. God, I was enjoying it.
Well,
already had my running backs.
Yeah, you went with like the 6th to 8th running back off the board and got him at a good value, and that kind of set your tone.
Yeah.
And I did typical Jim Hackett, and I just went like I was in a casino and dropped a lot of money on like 3 really big guys, and then I had to be patient, you know, which is, you know, I think I'm getting better at.
You took half the draft off. That's okay.
Not half. A third. Maybe 40%.
Well, the good thing is you didn't shut up the whole time, so it was fine.
We had fun.
You were comic relief.
I liked
it. It was an interesting draft,
it
for
was.
Sure. So, you know, a lot of considering it's like week 4 preseason, the Patriots are sort of interesting right now.
Listen,
like we can talk about our local team here, and really, we could kill the whole show on the Patriots if we wanted to.
No, I think we should get into the Patriots, because Thursday night in preseason, game 4, you saw a lot that you never see with the Patriots, okay? Or really any team. But it's preseason week 4. You usually have all your best guys, you know, out of the way. But the Patriots put Gordon, Demaryius Thomas,
yeah,
Edelman, all those guys were out there. And
yeah, the Edelman thing was surprising.
Yeah, well, a little concerning,
too. Did
they
tell us why?
A little concerning.
I know the thumb.
He came off. Yeah, I mean, he's, you know, he's been suffering from a broken thumb. He was out there. I think it's just to get, you know, practice reps or like game simulation reps in, which it worked. But he came off after a series. So
look, it's Belichick and it's the Patriots. You got to assume they had their reasons. But I was surprised to see Edelman on the field.
Yeah,
yeah.
As was I.
He's a bubble wrap guy for me, Pats. But hey, what do I know?
Well, look at, I mean, he's, we say this every year, and he's 33 now. You know what I mean?
Yeah,
so how much bubble wrap do you need? Yeah, so I think that they're going to roll the dice. And what's amazing is when you and I were talking like 8 weeks ago,
right,
it looked like a pretty thin position. Receiver on the Patriots does
now
not look
like
thin.
Who's going to make the cut? You're right.
Yeah.
It's true. I mean, obviously, Edelman, Gordon, they're locked. And then, I mean, obviously, the rookie's locked. I'd like to think Dorsett is locked, personally.
Yep.
And then how many more do you think? 2 more?
I think it becomes between Demaryius Thomas and Jacoby Myers. And there's, you know,
I don't see him cutting Myers. Well, that would be weird. He's played so well.
But then you've got this Gunnar Oslewski, who's like, you know, he does everything that Belichick likes. He returns kicks. He returns punts. He's
Can he
quick.
Be a gunner?
Hey, I mean, if he's
not a good gunner, that would be very disappointing.
If he's returning kicks and punts, not unlikely, right? Because he
Patterson's
can't be doing
gone,
both at the same time.
You need one more gunner, right? Slater and Patterson were the gunners last year, right?
Yeah, and we should tell people, look, this is rolling at 8 a.m. on Sunday in the Fantasy Football Hour. Pete and I, we usually, like, almost 100% of the time live on Sunday. We're dropping a pre-record on this one on Friday, day after the Patriots preseason stuff. So this actually might have already been solved already by the time it kind of sounded like dummies.
Right,
here.
Right.
But
nothing new there, Hack. It's
yeah,
all good.
But the reason we're dropping is we're both away this weekend. We got other drafts and stuff, too. And then we're back to normal next week. So we'll be taking the text at 37937 for your lineup questions, which we love to do. So
giddy up.
Just an FYI there. So this might have already been clear, but it's actually, we can prognosticate a little bit. So,
yeah,
you know.
How well do we do?
we'll see. But Demaryius Thomas on Thursday night was targeted 8 times. He had 7 catches, over 80 yards, and 2 touchdowns.
I was going to say, I was at a bar. I think I saw him score twice.
Yeah, yeah. You did. So one of 2 things is happening there. He had the
nice
show
throw on the first
by Stidham.
One,
Stidham
yeah,
looks
I thought
good.
Stidham put a nice ball out there, I thought.
Stidham has had the best preseason a backup quarterback has had, in my eyes, in watching the Patriots ever.
Yeah, I think I might have been a little too low on him and Gardner Minshew. Those guys are both looking pretty solid.
And Ryan Finley's had a nice preseason, right? This early days.
Finley I was okay on. I was high on Finley, so we did okay there. But, yeah, Gardner Minshew I've been impressed with. And obviously Stidham.
Well, Stidham is going to make, you know, Hoyer expendable. And the Patriots have so much talent on defense. It's like, do you use that?
Are people actually thinking that
he's gone?
Really?
I think he's going to be gone. And
so Stidham's the backup?
Yeah. I think he's played that. I mean, we don't know that 100% as we're recording this on, you know, late on Friday, but my instincts are, my intuition is that it's going to happen, A, because Stidham has played well, and B, look, they're going to cut, or may have already cut, 3 to 5 guys on defense that are going to start on a team. So do you want to make that 5 or do you want to make it 4? Do you want to make it 4 or do you want to make it 3?
And if something happens to Brady, you're going into rebuild mode anyway.
Anyway, so, right.
Yeah,
and rather get the kid some reps. So I think you know, we'll see how well we prognosticated that, but I think that Hoyer is going to be gonzo. But there's a lot to talk about there. We can talk about the guys who we know are going to be there.
Yeah, let's talk about this running back field. You know, I mean, in usual fashion, I love all the Patriot running backs.
Yep.
And the top four, obviously, are the big part of the equation. Are we getting, and again, I'm out of the local market most of the time, so are we getting any indication as far as Damian Harris? Is he looking more just like a backup who might get a little juice here and there? Or do we think he's going to have a role behind Michelle?
I think his role will...
By the way, Michelle looked really
good. Michelle looked great in week three of the preseason. And they've been saying for a couple weeks he's looked great in training camp. So, I mean, he looked...
That's the Sony Michelle I remember.
I don't even want to say he looked like his old self. He looked as good as I've ever seen him.
Yeah. No, I'm a big fan of Sony, so it was good to see. I moved him up the board. I think I have him inside 50 now.
You do.
What it's worth. Yeah.
Yeah, he's an RB2. He's a solid. You know,
it was all about health, right?
When
he shows me health and that type of juice, you got to move him up. I've got him in the RB2s now, 47 overall.
Well, here's the other thing about Michelle is that, you know, maybe a little bit more of pass catching chops this year. You know, that's the piece that really makes him interesting.
That's the carrot they're dangling in front of us fantasy players.
Yeah.
Sony's going to catch more passes. Now, I mean, it's hard for, I assume they're not giving him a air quote passing down role. But I assume that what this means is that they're going to probably target him more on early downs when he's in there.
Yeah, and I think it also gives defenses something to think about that when James White comes in, that it's not like you're telegraphing that they're going to pass. You know what I mean? Like, White can run a little bit, and if Michelle can catch it a little bit, it's going to keep the defense off balance in terms of what they're predicting to do.
Patriots are always going to hit you with what you're not prepared for. Yeah, that's their MO for sure.
But back to your question, Pete, about Harris.
Sony gets interesting. See, here's another thing where Michelle gets interesting. If he actually gets integrated, and not only are they targeting him, but it's working, they become really dangerous inside the 10. Now they're not telegraphing the run if Michelle's in the game inside the 10.
Right.
That just makes them that much more dangerous.
Yeah, so, I mean, and just to get back to your question about Harris, like where he fits.
Right.
You know, I just think now with Michelle looking as strong as he does, it becomes exactly what Belichick and McDaniels probably want him to be, which is a chess piece. You know what I mean? So we know what James White is. We know Sony Michelle is going to lead it. And now
Burkhead's the classic chess piece.
Right. You know, Burkhead, people wonder what they're going to do at tight end. You know, you could use Burkhead for the passing routes that a tight end would normally do. He can split him out. You can slot him. You can do all that stuff. So I think Harris becomes another piece. My gut instinct, Pete, is if like something were to happen to Michelle, and let's hope it doesn't, I don't think he becomes a bell cow. I think it's typical Patriots where they game plan. Yeah, I think he'd have a significant role, but Burkhead would, White would, I think, and onward they go. You know, so I wouldn't label him the number two. From a fantasy perspective, he's the guy I want. You know what I mean? I think that's the safety net.
You and I are a little bit of an opposing view on this, but that's okay.
Yeah, he's the guy I want from a fantasy perspective. And, you're in the league with me.
I don't think we're looking to handcuff Patriot running backs anyway, but if you are inclined to handcuff, and again, only in a deep league would I do it, a really deep league.
Right, we play in deep leagues. So.
Yeah, if I was handcuffing Sony, I'd go with Harris.
Yeah. Yeah, he's the desirable one to handcuff with if you have that roster space.
I think we both think he's the guy who can handle the volume. Even if they were going to use Burkhead initially, I don't think Rex handles the volume well enough. He gets dinged too damn easy.
He does, and he's so valuable. Like, rather protect that asset and use him as the weapon that he can be.
Right.
That's the way I see him.
Well, his value is as a chess piece, so why turn him into a bulldozer?
Right. Right. So, but I do think that it would be, there are games where, for instance, opening night, if you think that Mike Tomlin's going to learn his lesson, he's not. Pittsburgh's going to blitz, and James White's going to tear them apart. You know what I mean? So it will be game plan specific, but I do think he will, in terms of the carry load, if Michelle isn't there, will be the guy. But,
right.
You know,
that's all I'm saying.
Yeah, but they're going to ride Michelle. I think they are. I really think they're going to ride him as much as they can. And
that sort of speaks to why Brady. I mean, I did move Brady up four or five spots when we knew Gordon was going to be in the fold.
Sure.
Conceivably you could put him a little higher. The problem is Tom Brady's value is now also tied to relapse, right? So, like, if we're worried to go all in on Gordon because we're afraid of relapse, well, be careful with your Brady bump as well, right? They're tied together. And Gordon, man, Gordon is becoming really compelling in these fantasy drafts. He's starting to move up, man.
Yeah, he's moving up quickly too. I mean, it's a big jump. You know, it started around 8 and then round 6. Now you're seeing him in round 5.
I was in a super flex draft with a bunch of really good drafters.
Yeah.
Scott Barrett from PFF.
Oh, yeah.
And a bunch of other really sharp people. And in that draft, and again, super flex. So you've got quarterbacks going in the Mahomes went in the first, Watson went in the second.
Because you can play Baker, two, right?
Yeah, right. I took Baker Mayfield in the third. By the way, my team is Chubb, OBJ, and Baker. So that's going to be fun.
Yeah, that'll be fun.
But yeah, then middle of the fifth, somebody took Gordon. Like that's the high watermark I've seen in any of the drafts I've been in, and it was a pretty sharp guy taking him. So it I can't even remember, to be honest. Some of these teams, people haven't filled their names in yet.
Yeah.
I could look it up, but it's not that important. The thing is, it's just seeing him go there, definitely an attention getter. And I was talking about it, actually. I had Rich Rebar, Lord Reeves.
Saw that. Yeah. That's a nice hit. And you get a little shout out from one Evan Silva. That's never a bad thing.
Yeah. Well, Evan's a good dude. He takes care of people.
Yeah.
And Rich Rebar, Lord Reeves, was a great guest. He had a lot of good takes.
Good.
You can find that in my timeline if anybody wants to listen to it. I'm at Rotobahn on Twitter.
Yep.
Rotobahn. But where were we?
We were talking
we
were talking about Gordon, okay?
So right.
He's ranked right now in like the mid-60s, which puts him at basically the end of round 5, but you're seeing him a little bit earlier.
So this is what we were talking about. You know, you hear a lot of people saying, well, Gordon, we saw last year, has that wide receiver 2 upside. And what I said to Reeves, it's like, look, Can we forget this little dance that we're doing here? Because we all know Gordon has more upside than wide receiver 2, right?
You know, if it all goes the right way, he can explode and be your one. He can be.
It's, right. I'm not saying he is number 1 overall, but yeah, you're talking about wide receiver 1, which is exactly the point I was making with Rich. Is that look, let's be honest here. If this guy hits, like if Josh Gordon has found his football Jesus and he's staying clean off the field and he's Tom Brady's buddy and all that structure.
Who's your buddy?
All of that Patriot structure starts working for him, right?
Yep.
Let's have some fun and let's pretend this is going to be a feel-good story all year, okay?
I love it.
Just for a second, let's have some fun. How good is he in that scenario? I think he could be, like, as good as Mike Evans, right? So we're talking about wide receiver 1 level stuff. Now, granted, it might only last 2 weeks. We might not even get to opening day. We don't know, right? And we don't want to put that kind of pressure on Gordon that, you know, we need you, you know. And the other thing that Rich and I talked about is the irony, the sad irony with Josh is that it's when things start going well and he starts getting all the attention that sometimes things start to go bad for him. So hopefully they've got a support system in place for when he succeeds.
Yeah.
I think we're almost part of the fear is high levels of success, high levels of attention. Hopefully he's ready to deal with that. I mean,
he's my bubble wrap guy, man.
Yeah.
They should literally wrap him in bubble wrap. I mean, he's so compelling. And just to kind of let people know where he is kind of in the rankings, like think of the names here. You know, like a riser like Curtis Samuel. The venerable A.J. Green, as hurt as he is. Allen Robinson, Sammy Watkins. I mean, D. Westbrook, good receivers. He's right there, and he's somewhat of value.
Yeah, I mean, I just, you know, one thing I've noticed, and I think this is really cool, this might be the one Patriot player that everybody outside of Patriot Nation is still rooting for.
Yeah.
Like, I've heard very few people. Well, Edelman has a reputation of being a dirty player outside of the bubble, no offense. He's my favorite Patriot, but a lot of people don't like Julian Edelman. But Gordon, everybody I've heard on social media is like, I just hope he stays
rooting for him, yeah.
You know, this is so. There's like a lot. I hope he knows. Like the whole football world is behind him,
right?
Including Patriot Nation, including me, and you know, I just hope the kid plays. I would be very happy if he was just a wide receiver 3 all year, but he played 16 games and he's clean. You know, that would be fine with me. You know, we're getting into the whole thing about Gordon, and it's like, you know what? Can we just admit that the Patriots are good at doing things, right?
They sure are.
Right. So we all know there's this addiction thing with Gordon. We all know it's a real risk. And we all know no matter what happens, no matter what we do, there's going to be that risk. But as a fantasy player, I tend to look at the Patriots in a certain way. And I tend to say to myself, you know what? They tend to do things well. They tend to set things up well. They tend to take good risks. So is it fair for us to just say, I feel better about Josh Gordon going through what he's going through as a Patriot more than, say, a Dolphin?
Or Hugh Jackson Brown a couple years ago.
Okay, right. So can we? I mean, I think that's a reasonable thing to put out there.
I'm
not telling people to roll their whole season on Josh Gordon. In fact, if you're a Patriot fan and you're in a Patriot league, you probably should not target him because he's probably going to go in like the second or the third round.
And someone's going to get crazy.
Right, and you're going to end up buying him at his ceiling, and it's going to be really hard for him to pay off for you. But if you're in a league where it's not a bunch of Patriot fans and you can get him in that, I sort of like the sixth round, personally. But, you know, wherever you feel the value proposition is right for you, you know, I think there's a case to be made, as long as you understand the risks of getting involved with Gordon this year.
Well, I'll add to that, in that...
And by the way, the auction you and I are talking about, I took him last week in that auction.
Yeah, how much did you spend on him?
$6.
Yeah, that's great.
Nothing wrong with that.
You know, look, you've got him ranked as the 30th receiver, so that's about right. If you look at the guys who are around him, Allen Robinson, right. You know, I think A.J. Green went for $9, and he's going to miss several weeks. You know what I mean? So
that,
you know,
was,
Watkins probably went for that same kind of money.
That was part of my process.
Right.
Like, you know, I know I'm going to miss games from Green. Maybe I get lucky and don't miss any from Gordon.
Yep.
The bottom line is, if you draft Josh Gordon, you need to be prepared for contingencies.
Yeah.
Because you can lose your big guy at any time.
Well,
so if I'm doing it, I'm going to be on a wide receiver depth build after I take him.
Right. Like, ideally, like, in that same league, I started out with Julio and Stephon Diggs feeling good. Like, I would have been in a good position if the price was right and the budget was right to take Gordon, because I had a good foundation set at the position.
Right.
And the other thing...
You didn't have the money, did you?
I didn't. I got Christian Kirk shortly thereafter. I mean, you got Kirk at 36, Gordon at 30. Not too big of a drop-off there.
Right.
You know, the upside is definitely cut with Kirk, but a good floor.
I was in a place where if I could hit a receiver upside play, I wouldn't have to deal some of the other assets I'd accumulated. For me, it was a good dice roll. I felt really good about it. Even if it doesn't work, it was a risk worth taking.
Yeah, I agree. Similarly on Gordon, I want to say this. You know, last year they brought him in midseason, okay, and they got 10 weeks out of him. So it was his first time to the organization.
Right.
First time maybe to the area.
First time in the scheme.
First time in the scheme. First time with all his new teammates.
Right.
And he did pretty darn well for 10 weeks.
Now, for a guy with that kind of layoff, absolutely.
Yeah. And so he had a huge layoff.
Right.
Now, he played professional football last year.
Right.
Now, he had a little absence. He's familiar with the system, familiar with the scheme, made some buddies on the team.
Seems to be well-liked,
Seems to be well-liked. He's feeling support from the fan base. Like, when he went out in the field last year, I forget when it was, at home, and he caught a pass, Gillette went crazy. You know what I mean? And it's been nothing but a positive wave since then. So maybe, just maybe, maybe. And I'm not going to hinge my fantasy season on it, but I could win my fantasy league if I have him on there at the right place. You know,
right.
And I feel pretty good about him.
It's a value proposition, like we said. I mean, obviously, this is a guy I think we're all rooting for at this point. No one ever wants to see this kind of talent not be playing, right?
Yeah.
I mean, the NFL's a better place when Josh Gordon's playing. It's a better place when Tom Brady's playing. It was a better place when Peyton Manning was playing. Like, we love guys who play the game in crack,
right? Yeah.
Oh, by the way, that's a whole other thing, but that interview Gronk gave the other day left the door wide open. I don't know if that was going around.
Oh, yeah. No, it totally did.
I mean, he all but said, like, if I felt a little better right now, I'd be playing, you know?
I hate to show my hand, but I like him in a keeper league. I think the interviewer actually said, how about a keeper league? He said, hey, why not?
Don't dump Gronk in a dynasty league, folks.
Yeah.
Don't do it.
That's a hold.
Don't do it.
Hold.
I definitely think it's a hold. How are we doing with the first post?
Yeah, we're good. We have time. So let's get a little bit into some of the other receivers there with the Pats.
Let's put one little last exclamation point on the Gordon thing.
Sure.
You know, just under, like, you and I both seem to agree. The conditions are there for this guy to have a phenomenal football season. Just counterbalance that with where you are, with how you feel about the risk. Make sure you're okay with the risk where you're taking him. If you are, I think he's a fun play.
The other thing,
so
too.
That's it.
Yeah, the other thing, too, is, I mean, there are, 75 to 90 or so receivers that can help your roster. You know what I mean? So if you are risk averse, then you don't have to go for him. You know what I mean?
Well, you know what? You just brought us to a good place. You're right. It is a deep position. Wide receivers are going to be flowing over in the first couple of weeks of free agency.
Yeah.
So I mean, if you're sitting there and you can draft Gordon as, say, your third receiver, I sort of like that a lot.
Sure.
You know, forget about what round we're in, but if you can take him as your third receiver, where you don't need him to be your one, and he's in a place where he's a replaceable asset, Man, why not? Have some fun.
Yep.
This, this game's fun, right? It's supposed to be fun.
Yeah, and this, I mean, there's so much talent in the receiver pool. And by the way, receivers are really important. As, you know, as like PPR leagues are becoming actually more the norm than the alternative, you know, or like getting some points for receptions, it's fractionally, you know, it's a position of focus, and it's a very, very deep position. And by the way, the league is going that way where they're throwing more and more guys are getting the ball. So, and you can thank Mr. Brady for that. But he kind of set the template of spreading the ball around. So
it is getting harder and harder to find good receivers because with the advent of more 3 and 4 wide receiver sets, the ball's being spread around more.
Yeah.
And there are fewer guys getting that heavy concentration of targets. So receiver is a position that sort of comes further and further into focus as the year progresses. So we're going to have some excellent free agent targets at receiver. So again, if you can add a guy like Gordon in a spot that's going to be replaceable through free agency, that's suddenly it. That sort of changes the value proposition to me, and I start leaning in and liking the idea of taking him. Where were you going when I cut you off before, Jim?
I was just saying that, like, you know, the receiver position is, it's so deep, it gives you the flexibility to play it a couple of different ways. So if, like, Gordon makes you queasy for your draft, you don't have to draft him. If you love the upside, you've got enough. You can, like, I think you said it to me last week in our draft that I anti-fragility'd well. I did. I went heavy, and then, like, I covered my back end with people that you can use. So that was where I was going.
Right. But, and getting those backup running backs the way you did it, just so people understand what we're talking about when we're talking about anti-fragility, if you take a starting running back, his value almost, it can stay the same or it can go down.
Yep.
Like, those are pretty much the only two possibilities,
yep,
unless he has some type of all-world year. But when you draft, for example, let's pick a good one. If you take Jalen Samuels from Pittsburgh, okay,
yep,
he doesn't have a whole lot of standalone value, but his value cannot go down, right? He's not going to get hurt not playing.
Right.
But what can happen is if something happens to James Conner, you just drafted yourself a league winner.
Yep.
So it's good business to have some of these guys like Damian Harris,
yep,
like Jalen Samuels,
Justin Jackson,
Hill, Darwin Thompson, Tony Pollard, Rashad Penny, a lot of these guys. Where
Deion Lewis.
Right. If you have a couple of these guys, you will end up hitting probably on one of them, and that will change the whole face of your team, and they don't cost a lot. So it is good business to get into these, as Jim said, air quote, anti-fragility backs. They can do a lot for your team as the season progresses.
Yeah, and you can do upside receivers similarly.
Right.
All right, so
whole concept of zero RB is based on having these anti-fragility running backs.
Right. All right, so I want to get into more of these kind of guys, like upside receivers, running backs, anti-fragility plays, if you will, to get you ready for your drafts. We're coming back after the break. Sports Radio, WEEI.
At Vistaprint, we know you've got that idea for your business. Like the one that nails the trade show, levels up your brand, or makes your team say,
"We're really doing this."
But an idea is just an idea until it's printed on
signage, giveaways, custom apparel.
Once it's
in my hands, on my team, out in the world,
then it's happening.
It's so happening.
Vistaprint has thousands of products, easy design tools, and real support to turn that idea into something possible. Print your possible with code NEW20 for 20% off your first order at Vistaprint.com.
Spring is finally here, and it's that time of year when plans start becoming real. Trips are getting booked, the calendar is filling up, and the energy is shifting. Make this season count. By starting right now, you'll hit summer already feeling more confident speaking and understanding a brand new language. Whether you're prepping for a dream vacation, reconnecting with your family heritage, or just finally checking learn a new language off your bucket list, Rosetta Stone is the way to go. They've been the trusted leader in language learning for over 30 years because they skip the boring stuff. There's no memorizing random vocabulary lists or leaning on chunky translations. Instead, their intuitive method helps you naturally absorb the language by connecting words and visuals to real-world meaning. It's about learning in context, the way language was actually meant to be learned. As a trusted expert with millions of users, Rosetta Stone offers 25 different languages, including Spanish, French, German, Japanese, and more. It really is the ultimate tool for genuine growth. Ready to start learning a new language this spring? Visit rosettastone.com/RS10 today to explore Rosetta Stone and choose the language that's right for you. Go to rosettastone.com/RS10 now and begin your language learning journey.
The days are longer, the calendar's filling up, and I want to feel as good as this beautiful summer weather. That's why I've been loving Grunes. It's one daily pack of gummies that covers my greens, vitamins, minerals, and even has 6 grams of prebiotic fiber. So I don't need to juggle a complicated wellness routine on top of everything else. They taste amazing. They're easy to toss in my bag on the go. Plus, they're vegan, gluten-free, and HSA, FSA eligible for reimbursement. Save up to 52% off with code PODCAST at Grunes.co. That's code PODCAST at GRUNS.co.
Nerds.
Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Personal finance can feel like a pop quiz you didn't study for. This podcast is your study guide. On NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast, you'll hear from trusted journalists who explain the why behind major financial decisions. You'll get research-backed insights and clear pros and cons, whether you're planning a big purchase or just want to grow your wealth. Make your next financial move with confidence. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast on your favorite podcast app.
All right, Jim and Pete back. Fantasy Football, our sports radio, WEEI. Before the break, we did a lot of Pats talk, which is merited in terms of fantasy football. First of all, you know, I love to talk about the Pats, but with all the talent they have at receiver and running back and all the different ways they can play, there's a lot to talk about. But towards the end of the first segment before we got to the break, we started talking about, you know, the running back position upside, the receiver position, and we were talking about Josh Gordon a ton, and it got me talking a little bit about, look at how you want to approach it with him, if you want to approach it, because the reality is there's so much depth at the position, there's so much upside later in the draft and available to you, that there's an argument to be made to take him, and there's an argument to be made to avoid him. And so there are upside plays at all positions, so I thought that was a good way to transition into some upside running backs and receivers, and you actually cited a few on EEI.com and a couple articles that ran this week.
Right. Yeah. One thing I would say on receivers, don't wait too long to start, though. Like, don't start taking your receivers in, like, the fifth.
No, because there is a drop-off. There is a drop-off.
Get yourself something you can believe in at your one spot, just because in some of these drafts, they fly off the board.
They do.
So you just, you know, get a little something in the first five rounds just so you have a base. But, yeah, let's move over to these backs, Jimmy.
Yeah, so let's get to the backs. We talked about Sony Michel was the guy who headed your article.
Right, and we already hit him.
Yeah, but I think it's...
He's in there.
Yeah, it's a good one. But the big story that... One of the many big stories, I mean, don't forget the Andrew Luck retirement, Gronk's right. announcement. But another big story was when Duke Johnson, who in July said he wanted to be traded out of Cleveland, well, he got traded. He got traded
it's
to Houston. And
part.
He is looking good.
Yeah, Duke is, A, an underrated player. I think a lot of people don't realize how good Duke Johnson is.
As a player. Yeah,
exactly. He's good at the game. And I think some people have him pigeonholed as just a receiving back because that's what the Browns did with him. You know, and I would just counter that with how many people didn't realize Deion Lewis was a really good interior runner
yep.
until he got to the Patriots.
Yep.
I think most of the world didn't know that, and I think Duke Johnson's similar. I think some people just don't realize he can run inside. He's not Deion Lewis inside, don't get me wrong, but he can run inside. He can absolutely bounce the ball outside. He's got really good vision as a running back, and then when you want to throw him the ball, you can do anything with him. He's like Rex Burkhead. You can slot him. You can he can run the wheel. He can do anything you want him to do as a receiver, either out of the backfield or as a guy who can break formation. So Duke Johnson, if you are an offensive coordinator, man, you just want to get to the whiteboard with this guy because you can do anything. So, and we know Bill O'Brien, you know, he can be creative at times.
Yeah.
So I'm really bullish to see how are they going to use Duke Johnson? But what we're more interested in as fantasy owners is how much Duke Johnson are we going to get? And right now, they don't have a lot of options. I mean, he's got to get at least
50%
of the
option.
Juice. At least.
Yeah.
I'd say that's the floor for him right now.
Yeah. They've got a rookie. They've got Higdon from Michigan, but there's not a whole lot else
They've
there.
They've got a collection of dudes. They
yeah,
really
Jax.
Don't have much behind them.
Right.
So, you know, until some kind of move is made, I mean, there's the only thing with Duke right now is you could conceivably get punked if, you know, Kenyon Drake gets dealt there or something like that. I don't know if I really see that. And to be honest, Duke's a better back than Kenyon Drake.
Well, I think people aren't thinking about with Duke Johnson. You know, he was pretty highly acclaimed coming out of college. He's a Miami guy, you know, and they spent a good pick on him, Cleveland.
242 carries his last year.
Yeah.
at Miami. So this is not some guy who's never seen volume before.
Right.
You know, everybody's talking about how great Tony Pollard's going to be. You know, the guy never had 100 carries in a season. You know, Duke Johnson's been a lead back. Yeah. He just came in and got stuck behind, you know, Isaiah Crowell and guys like that.
That they didn't know what they were doing, by the way.
That, and then the fact that he was always the tiny back in the rotation, relatively speaking.
Right.
And then obviously Chubb comes in, and well, hey, look, it's Nick Chubb.
And Hyde. Hyde was
right
there too.
Absolutely. And Hyde makes Duke. Duke saw the writing on the wall. He's like, wait a minute, where do I fit in here?
Right.
So I don't blame him one bit for speaking up a little. And look, now he's on a team where defenses are all kinds of stressed down the field with Kiki Kuti and with Deandre Hopkins and with Fuller. Not to mention, you've got a quarterback that demands a spy.
Yeah, he can run.
Right.
And he will.
Yeah, absolutely. So Duke Johnson's going to be a very tough detail for defenses to lock down. I just, the potential for him to make a lot of big plays every week, it's there. To me, the only thing, like if you take Duke Johnson in the fifth round right now, and I'm targeting him sort of late fifth round, if you can get him there, I just, you know, other than injury, I don't see how he doesn't pay off.
You might get your RB2 when it's all said and done in the late fifth round. That's great business.
Yeah, I mean, do I want to take him as my RB2? I mean, if I do, then I want to make sure I have a strong RB3.
Yeah.
Because, you know, we haven't seen Duke get a big, you know, a lot of volume the last couple of years, so you never know. You want to protect yourself. But, yeah, I mean, from a ceiling point of view, from a potential point of view, man, I mean, he could catch like 80 balls on that team.
I know.
I'm not exaggerating. He really could do that.
Going into a draft, he's a target for me as a flex. But at the end of the year, he could perform at RB2 level. And that's, again, as I said, good business.
Right. Highly motivated player. I love the Duke Johnson situation. And then moving down the board here, Matt Breida, you know, a guy you can get, you know, sometimes 30, 40 picks after Tevin Coleman.
Yeah.
Meanwhile, Breida's been in the system for a year, 2 years, well, a year in Shanahan's system. Well, no, 2 years in Shanahan's system, excuse me. I'd much rather buy Breida, you know, in the ninth round or something like that, or the eighth round, than spend a late fourth or a mid fifth
on Coleman.
On Tevin Coleman.
Yeah.
You know, I do think Coleman is probably going to have the touch lead early in the season, but if you watch the preseason, Breida has looked better. I mean, Coleman's a good back. You never know what's going to happen. But to me, I'll take the late Breida cheap, and I think he's got standalone flex value no matter what.
I was going to say,
McKinnon's out of the picture.
There's a lot of like about Breida, too. The other thing, too, is he's been there.
He's a good little back.
He's been there. He's proven himself to the 49ers. He has proven himself as durable, as tough, as willing to work through injury, as willing to play through injury, as willing to succeed in the offense. He's a good back.
He's one of those kids
like
who runs
better
with the heart on the outside of the jersey.
Yeah.
You know, like, you can see the thing beating when he runs. It's really, like you said, a lot of the highlight reel things we saw from him last year was with a bum ankle.
Yeah.
As you alluded to. So this guy would fit in real well locally. Like, he'd be a great, Belichick would love this guy.
Yeah, and he doesn't have to sell the staff. I mean, Shanahan knows what he can do. Like, he knows what he has in Breida. Really, the kind of prove-it-to-me guy for them is Coleman, you know?
I mean, I think Coleman will do well. I think Shanahan likes him, and Coleman's best year was when he played for Shanahan. So I'm bullish on both of these guys, but the fact that I can get one so much later, you know, I like that action. And Breida isn't just an anti-fragility kind of pick, because you're going to get some weekly juice with him. You can stick him in your flex spot if you need to.
No question. I'd be happy to have him in my flex spot.
Yeah, I've got him.
You've got him in tuna. Yeah.
Yeah, he's like Frank's Red Hot Sauce. I got that. blank everywhere.
Yeah.
And then last guy on the list is Justice Hill, who hopefully all of our listeners know about. If you don't, I strongly suggest you go on YouTube and watch some
Get
Justice
familiar.
Hill.
Yeah.
Man, this kid is exciting. He's a lot like Darren Sproles, but he's got more long speed.
Mm.
He is a big play waiting to happen. And on this team, where they're going to be running a lot of read option kind of stuff, where they are, I mean, this is like, this team is going to give their running backs more free passes to the second level maybe than any team in the league. And Justice Hill is going to be getting some of those passes.
Yeah.
I want to get involved. I want to be in the Justice Hill business. You give me a chance at Justice Hill in the 10th, 11th area, unless there's somebody who's slipping on the board that I like even more, I'm taking that every time.
Well, that's where he's going. He's going around like 100th, right? So he's right there. The thing about him is, like, we just talked about, you know, Duke Johnson and Matt Breida, you know, more standalone values, but we were talking about anti-fragility guys. This is a great one. Justice Hill is a great one.
He's sort of he's got like a foot in both buckets. I do think he's got standalone appeal. And then I guess the interesting question would be, yeah, like what if something happened to Ingram? Now, Justice Hill's like 190 pounds, like soaking wet.
Right.
So I don't know how much they would allow him to take. They do have some other backs. Gus Edwards is there. He was a really good early down runner for them.
He was good last year, yeah.
Didn't catch any passes, but I didn't see him have a bad game. And I was really impressed with his vision, with his patience. Very stable, good-looking back. So I think my guess is if something happened to Ingram, they would probably go to Edwards as the early down guy, but then probably sprinkle more Hill in than they otherwise would.
Gotcha.
That's my guess.
Yeah. But he's interesting. I mean, that's an offensive work in progress, you know, with Lamar Jackson at quarterback. So I kind of like those safety net guys. So,
yeah.
You know?
I just think we're going to be seeing highlight reels. When they've got Lamar in there running read option with Hill, man, I mean, defenses are just, they're going to be scared.
Yeah.
It's just so much explosion at the mesh point. You don't know what's going to happen.
I think the guy, you know, with Ingram and Justice Hill, and then the tight end, which we'll get into at the, you know, closer to the end of the show.
Right.
Those are the safety net guys. And a guy like, if I'm the coach and I'm looking at Lamar Jackson, that's, as a fantasy football guy, those are the guys I'm projecting. You know what
right.
I mean, for that offense,
right.
It just feels right.
And then, I mean, I've got a character limit on my articles because you know we want the, you know, we want everything to be sort of
in and out,
you know,
yeah.
device friendly, right?
Yeah.
So I would have included in this article Darwin Thompson, same kind of thing, where
yeah.
I just think you know he'd be below Hill. He's really similar to Hill. I think he's going to have a weekly role that will give you some standalone kind of flex appeal. And then if something happens to Damian Williams, he could become a monster. Tony Pollard is a guy maybe who's going to give you some RB1, RB2 level weeks until Zeke gets back and then has
could be the first few weeks
appeal.
Of the season, yeah.
Yeah, like in that auction where I took Zeke, the one we were talking about, I'm really right now very glad that I got Pollard as
yeah.
well. Some other, now if we want to talk just a few more anti-fragility backs that I think are compelling, Chase Edmonds behind Dave Johnson.
Yeah.
Now I think Edmonds is more of a handcuff anti-fragility kind of thing, but boy, he's a good back. And if something happens to Johnson, Chase Edmonds would become he'd be a household name very quickly.
Mm.
CJ Anderson's a straight handcuff, but I definitely like him behind Kerryon.
Well, also, he's in Detroit with Patricia, so he might get actually use.
I think you're right. I don't know if he'll have predictable weekly use, but I definitely think you're right. He's going to get touches. And then here's just sort of a deep sleep one. Malcolm Brown on the Rams.
Oh, yeah. I took him. Yep.
So if you take Gurley, what's going to happen to you is you may lose out on Daryl Henderson because he's often going really early. Some
right.
people are really high on him. If that happens to you, you don't get Daryl Henderson. All is not lost. If you're in a deep league where handcuffing makes sense, you know, target Malcolm Brown because he may actually get the CJ Anderson role in that backfield.
Yeah.
If something happens to Gurley.
And you remember
what
CJ Yeah, you remember what CJ Anderson was in the playoffs last year.
It's hard
so,
to forget.
Yeah. All right. So we hit some anti-fragility backs, we hit some upside backs. When we come back from the break, we're going to spend some time on upside receivers and upside tight ends. There are articles up on WEI.com that Pete put up there. You can kind of supplement the show with those, and we're going to get to that right after the break. Sports Radio. All right, Pete Davidson, Jim Hackett, back at you. Fantasy Football Hour, the final segment of the Week 4 preseason, the big weekend, the big cheese, where it's all done with fantasy football. And just to recap, you know, this show will be posted up on WEI.com. They'll tweet it out at WEI. Pete and I will re-hit it. I'm at WEI Hacksaw. Pete's at Rotobon. We'll put it out there. We've covered a lot. We covered a lot of what's happening with the Patriots in terms of their offense, a lot of Josh Gordon talk. Last segment, we talked about a bit about the running backs and who are some upside guys, who are some anti-fragility plays, some handcuffs if you're in a deep league. We're going to do the same now. Let's talk about upside receivers and upside tight ends, and you get the article up that you can kind of play along with. So let's hit them.
Yeah, I just sort of did a really general, you know, layout of how I look at the tight ends when I'm drafting this year. I broke them down into the three primary categories. Now, the first two are easy. I'm just breaking my top six into two groups.
Yeah.
And the primary reason to break them into the two groups is that they're going in fairly distinct parts of the draft. Like tier one is Travis Kelce, George Kittle, Zach Ertz. I think most of our audience probably already knew that.
Yeah.
And those guys, for the most part, are concentrated in the round two, early round three area.
Yep.
Ertz will sometimes get down to the bottom of round three. Kelce will sometimes go in round one.
Seeing more of him at the turn in my personal drafts, but yeah,
yeah.
I agree with you.
Kelce, now what you're doing with Kelce is going to have a lot to do with the dynamics of your league. If you're in a small 10-team league, I would target him in the second. If you're in a big 12-team league with multiple flex spots, I think he's absolutely viable pretty much anywhere you want to take him.
Sure.
Okay. Kittle, same kind of concept. He's going to be, well, any tight end is going to be worth more in a big league. Any tight end is going to be worth more in a league with a flex. Obviously, if you are in a league that uses tight end premium scoring, that jacks the value up. But in typical short bench 10-team leagues, their value is less. Okay,
right.
Important to understand that. Now, when we get to Tier 2, and we can go back to these guys individually if you want to talk about them, Jimmy. But when you get to Tier 2, I like these guys almost as much.
Well,
like,
these are the guys you and I have both been targeting. You know,
right. I don't see a big drop-off from Tier 1 to Tier 2. And since we can usually get the Tier 2 guys in Round 5, I like the idea of filling the, you know, more scarcely available positions in Rounds 1, 2, 3, 4,
yep,
and then getting my elite tight end in the 5th. And O.J. Howard's like a 50-50 shot in the 5th. He gets there quite frequently.
Yeah.
I love it when I can get him there. But if he's not there, I'm happy to just scoop up Evan Engram, who has similar appeal to me. I mean, O.J. Howard's that incredible athlete, upside, plays in this dynamic offense, going to make some huge plays, you know, has ceiling, could conceivably go all the way up to tight end 1 because of it, but he's got a wide range of outcomes. Engram is more the number one guy in his offense in terms of being a receiver. We can just count on the volume
yep
with him.
Yeah.
Right? But I have them ranked very similarly. Then Hunter Henry, a little downgrade to him just because he's coming off an ACL. But apart from that, I love Hunter Henry.
Well, Philip Rivers loves him.
You're getting a piece of Rivers, which is great. They've got established rapport, which is great. The only thing we're worried about is maybe some type of setback or a re-injury, because he has had major injuries.
Yeah.
So there's that factor. But apart from that, Hunter Henry is really a stud.
Yeah, he's interesting because he's coming off an injury, but somehow he's kind of the floor guy. You know what I mean? Because he's involved in that offense when he's out there.
He and Keenan Allen are the inside weapons, and they're going to eat.
Yep.
There's no way around it. As long as those guys are healthy, they're going to eat. The guy who's a little bit more of a risky proposition is Mike Williams, who has to play on the outside and more of a downfield threat. So
yeah,
I think he's going to be spiky, up and down, week to week, very touchdown dependent. I do think the targets are going to be there for Henry and Keenan on the inside. It's going to be a little bit more of a flat curve, if you will.
Yeah, Mike Williams to me is like an interesting DFS play or like a best ball play, because not anchoring, but relying on him in my redrafts, full season leagues, I'm a little leery. You know what I mean? He's,
well, I do think,
happy with
him
as my third, but
yeah, no, I'm fine with him as my third receiver. I do think it's going to be a little bit of a volatile run, but I think he'll have some big weeks to go with the bad. But to your point in DFS, I like that idea, because if the Chargers are playing a team that has, you know, a good cover safety and a strong interior slot corner,
yep,
then you could see volume sort of predictably flowing to Williams in a game like that. And if he's got a good number on DraftKings or whatever, I think that's actually a good idea.
Yep.
For what it's worth.
I would agree.
So we broke down the big three, the next three. I like attacking the next three because I think it's a better value proposition in that fifth, sixth round area.
Yep.
But we don't want to reach, and sometimes we're going to be in a position where maybe one of you decided to take Mahomes in the third or the fourth or something like that. We don't want to go double specialty position before we've locked down some running backs and receivers.
Yep.
So for me, I'm not going to take my quarterback and my tight end early. I'm not going to do that. So sometimes we may decide to pass on these guys in the fifth, maybe hoping to get them in the sixth. Maybe we don't. That's okay. There are other ways to attack the tight end position this year. And the way I've been doing it personally is I've sort of cobbled together something. Like, I'll take a veteran in combination with a rookie that I really like, or a veteran with an ascending second or third year tight end that I really like.
Yep.
So the examples I gave were Kyle Rudolph and TJ Hockenson, Dallas Goedert and Greg Olsen, and then Ian Thomas and Delanie Walker, Tyler Eifert and Hockenson would be another. So there's a guy you can depend on first couple weeks, and then if your upside guy breaks out, you could make a switch. I sort of like it that way.
I do too. Yeah, I do too. And also too, with Carolina, for instance, you mentioned Greg Olsen. I mean, you could actually do the handcuff, do Greg Olsen and Ian Thomas.
Absolutely, absolutely. Now that, if you have like a pick at the end of the round, you can bang that out, and it's really not a terrible move. The only downside about that is that you've limited your upside, and you also put yourself in a situation where, God forbid, if they split, now you need a tight end.
Yes.
because you could end up with, if they, like, say they're playing 50% snaps each one, then you might have an issue. But I do like the idea in general. You know what? If you're in a really deep league, Jim, and you've got an end pick where you can bang out two in a row.
Yeah.
If I had, like, say I had O.J. Howard, who I love but does have some injury risk.
Yep.
Then maybe adding the Carolina pair late. And then,
yeah,
you know, by week three, I'll know which one I want to cut.
Yep.
I could see that.
I like that. And again, yeah, don't be afraid of getting the guys that you might cut, because it happens every year. The waiver wire will be stacked. It'll be stacked.
Right.
And you're gonna need guys you can cut.
For those who may have listened to the Rotobon Draft Plan, it's a podcast. It's been posted. It's easy to find. It's on my website, rotobon.com. I really stress that. If you're going to miss, miss hard, miss strong,
yeah,
go for it. The best misses are the ones that that give you clarity early in the season. Like, if you know it's a miss week one, that's good, because now you're going to be able to lean in on the best guys in free agency,
yeah,
and they're going to be good. You are going to want to drop some major money either week one, two, or three. It's almost a 100% proposition. So having guys who will either be clean hits or clean misses is going to make you a strong player in early free agency. And the people who hit well in early free agency are almost always teams that make the playoffs.
Yeah, and just if you need like a mathematical equation for proof, let me give it to you. Pete and I did a draft last week. We draft 300 players. It's 12 teams. The rosters are 25 deep. No sooner than the end of the draft did enough news happen that the free agent wire is going to be humming, you know. So,
and that's in a crazy deep.
That's in a crazy deep league. We draft 300 players, and we don't draft a kicker. By the way, it's double flex, and you have a defense. Okay, so Luck retires. No one drafted Jacoby Brissett.
Right.
We got a couple people who are a little bit light at quarterback.
It's a single QB leagues.
Yeah, single. Right. So he's going to go, and then like you know, news out of Tampa Bay, at running back. You know, you've got Bruce Arians there. He's going to be looking for creative solutions.
I thought somebody drafted Agunle, however you say it.
Agumbawale.
Thank you.
I don't think so.
Oh, I see.
I think, yeah, he's out there. I think the...
he's mine.
you're in a battle with me, man. I'm going to go for him. No, the other kind of difficult to pronounce African name was a receiver that got taken. I'll get back to that.
Okay.
But I do believe, I'm going to very easily... syllably here, I'm going to say I messed it up. Agumbawale, that's him from Tampa Bay.
That actually sounded right.
I think I got it.
We'll work on it. We're going to get it eventually. Hey, look, this kid could end up being the third down back on this team. He's got some size to him.
They're not going to lean on Andre Ellington with all the injuries he's had. No way.
Not at this point. And, you know, it's not like the early down guys are locked to take that. So for all we know, this guy could get some of the early down work. I definitely like targeting him late in drafts right now, especially if it's PPR format.
Yeah, no doubt. So we're going to end up a little business here and just say, look, great luck in your drafts. Go get them. Be aggressive. And look for the updates. You know, so WEEI does a great job putting our stuff out there at WEEI on Twitter. Pete puts all of his stuff, not only from WEEI, but at Rotobon, at Rotobon on Twitter. And then I'm the mad retweeter at WEEI Hacksaw. But I've got my own original thoughts that you'll see as well. But this show will be out there. We'll pump it out. And, you know, just be aggressive. Look for the values. Strike while they're there. And know there's plenty of talent out there. Don't be afraid to take risks. Take them, because the waiver wire is going to be humming all year long.
Right, especially in the last four rounds.
Yeah, no, absolute guarantee.
It.
Go get Josh Gordon. All right, we'll talk to you next week, everybody, and great luck in your fantasy football draft.
At Vistaprint, we know you've got that idea for your business, like the one that nails the trade show, levels up your brand, or makes your team say,
"We're really doing this."
But an idea is just an idea until it's printed on
signage, giveaways, custom apparel.
Once it's
in my hands, on my team, out in the world,
then it's happening.
It's so happening.
Vistaprint has thousands of products, easy design tools, and real support to turn that idea into something possible. Print your possible with code NEW20 for 20% off your first order at Vistaprint.com.
Spring is finally here, and it's that time of year when plans start becoming real. Trips are getting booked, the calendar is filling up, and the energy is shifting. Make this season count. By starting right now, you'll hit summer already feeling more confident speaking and understanding a brand new language. Whether you're prepping for a dream vacation, reconnecting with your family heritage, or just finally checking learn a new language off your bucket list, Rosetta Stone is the way to go. They've been the trusted leader in language learning for over 30 years because they skip the boring stuff. There's no memorizing random vocabulary lists or leaning on chunky translations. Instead, their intuitive method helps you naturally absorb the language by connecting words and visuals to real-world meaning. It's about learning in context, the way language was actually meant to be learned. As a trusted expert with millions of users, Rosetta Stone offers 25 different languages, including Spanish, French, German, Japanese, and more. It really is the ultimate tool for genuine growth. Ready to start learning a new language this spring? Visit rosettastone.com/rs10 today to explore Rosetta Stone and choose the language that's right for you. Go to rosettastone.com/rs10 now and begin your language learning journey.
The days are longer, the calendar's filling up, and I want to feel as good as this beautiful summer weather. That's why I've been loving Grooms. It's one daily pack of gummies that covers my greens, vitamins, minerals, and even has 6 grams of prebiotic fiber. So I don't need to juggle a complicated wellness routine on top of everything else. They taste amazing. They're easy to toss in my bag on the go. Plus, they're vegan, gluten-free, and HSA FSA eligible for reimbursement. Save up to 52% off with code PODCAST at Grooms.co. That's code PODCAST at GRUNS.
Nerds. Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Personal finance can feel like a pop quiz you didn't study for. This podcast is your study guide. On NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast, you'll hear from trusted journalists who explain the why behind major financial decisions. You'll get research-backed insights and clear pros and cons, whether you're planning a big purchase or just want to grow your wealth. Make your next financial move with confidence. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast on your favorite podcast app.
Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
All right, Pete Davidson, Jim Hackett, back at you. Fantasy Football Hour, the final segment of the Week 4 preseason, the big weekend, the big cheese, where it's all done with fantasy football. And just to recap, you know, this show will be posted up on WEI.com. They'll tweet it out at WEI. Pete and I will re-hit it. I'm at WEI Hacksaw. Pete's at Rotobon. We'll put it out there. We've covered a lot. We covered a lot of what's happening with the Patriots in terms of their offense, a lot of Josh Gordon talk. Last segment, we talked about a bit about the running backs and who are some upside guys, who are some anti-fragility plays, some handcuffs if you're in a deep league. We're going to do the same now. Let's talk about upside receivers and upside tight ends, and you get the article up that you can kind of play along with. So let's hit them.
Yeah, I just sort of did a really general, you know, layout of how I look at the tight ends when I'm drafting this year. I broke them down into the three primary categories. Now, the first two are easy. I'm just breaking my top six into two groups.
Yeah.
And the primary reason to break them into the two groups is that they're going in fairly distinct parts of the draft. Like tier one is Travis Kelce, George Kittle, Zach Ertz. I think most of our audience probably already knew that.
Yeah.
And those guys, for the most part, are concentrated in the round two, early round three area.
Yep.
Ertz will sometimes get down to the bottom of round three. Kelce will sometimes go in round one.
Seeing more of him at the turn in my personal drafts, but yeah. I agree with you.
Kelce, now what you're doing with Kelce is going to have a lot to do with the dynamics of your league. If you're in a small 10-team league, I would target him in the second. If you're in a big 12-team league with multiple flex spots, I think he's absolutely viable pretty much anywhere you want to take him.
Sure.
Okay. Kittle, same kind of concept. He's going to be, well, any tight end is going to be worth more in a big league. Any tight end is going to be worth more in a league with a flex. Obviously, if you are in a league that uses tight end premium scoring, that jacks the value up. But in typical short bench 10-team leagues, their value is less. Okay,
right.
Important to understand that. Now, when we get to tier two, and we can go back to these guys individually if you want to talk about them, Jimmy. But when you get to tier two, I like these guys almost as much.
Well,
like,
these are the guys you and I have both been targeting. You know,
right? I don't see a big drop off from tier one to tier two, and since we can usually get the tier two guys in round five, I like the idea of filling the, you know, more scarcely available positions in rounds one, two, three, four,
yep,
and then getting my elite tight end in the fifth. And You know, O.J. Howard's like a 50-50 shot in the fifth. He gets there quite frequently.
Yeah.
I love it when I can get him there. But if he's not there, I'm happy to just scoop up Evan Engram, who has similar appeal to me. I mean, O.J. Howard's that incredible athlete, upside, plays in this dynamic offense, going to make some huge plays, you know, has ceiling, could conceivably go all the way up to tight end one because of it, but he's got a wide range of outcomes. Engram is more the number one guy in his offense in terms of being a receiver. We can just count on the volume
yep.
with him.
Yeah,
right? But I have them ranked very similarly. Then Hunter Henry, a little downgrade to him just because he's coming off an ACL. But apart from that, I love Hunter Henry.
Well, Philip Rivers loves him.
You're getting a piece of Rivers, yeah. which is great. They've got established rapport, which is great. The only thing we're worried about is maybe some type of setback or a re-injury, because he has had major injuries. Yeah. So there's that factor. But apart from that, Hunter Henry is really a stud.
Yeah, he's interesting because he's coming off an injury, but somehow he's kind of the floor guy. You know what I mean? Because he's involved in that offense when he's out there.
He and Keenan Allen are the inside weapons, and they're going to eat.
Yep.
There's no way around it. As long as those guys are healthy, they're going to eat. The guy who's a little bit more of a, you know, a risky proposition is Mike Williams, who has to play on the outside and more of a downfield threat. So
yeah.
I think he's going to be spiky up and down week to week, very touchdown dependent. I do think the targets are going to be there for Henry and Keenan on the inside. It's going to be a little bit more of a flat curve, if you will.
Yeah, Mike Williams to me is like an interesting DFS play or like a best ball play, because not anchoring, but relying on him in my redrafts, you know, full season leagues, I'm a little leery. You know what I mean?
He's well, I do think
happy with him as my third, but
yeah, no, I'm fine with him as my third receiver. I do think it's going to be a little bit of a volatile run, but I think you'll have some big weeks to go with the bad. But to your point in DFS, I like that idea, because if the Chargers are playing a team that has, you know, a good cover safety and a strong interior slot corner,
yep.
then you could see volume sort of predictably flowing to Williams in a game like that. And if he's got a good number on DraftKings or whatever, yeah, I think that's actually a good idea
yep.
for what it's worth.
I would agree.
So we broke down the big three, the next three. I like attacking the next three because I think it's a better value proposition in that fifth, sixth round area.
Yep.
But we don't want to reach, and sometimes we're going to be in a position where maybe one of you decided to take Mahomes in the third or the fourth or something like that. We don't want to go double specialty position before we've locked down some running backs and receivers.
Yep.
So for me, I'm not going to take my quarterback and my tight end early. I'm not going to do that. So sometimes we may decide to pass on these guys in the fifth, maybe hoping to get them in the sixth. Maybe we don't. That's okay. There are other ways to attack the tight end position this year. And the way I've been doing it personally is I've sort of cobbled together something. Like, I'll take a veteran in combination with a rookie that I really like, or a veteran with an ascending second or third year tight end that I really like.
Yep.
So the examples I gave were Kyle Rudolph and TJ Hockenson, Dallas Goedert and Greg Olsen, and then Ian Thomas and Delanie Walker, Tyler Eifert and Hockenson would be another. So there's a guy you can depend on first couple weeks, and then if your upside guy breaks out, you could make a switch. I sort of like it that way.
I do too. Yeah, I do too. And also too, with Carolina, for instance, you mentioned Greg Olsen, but you could actually do the handcuff, do Greg Olsen and Ian Thomas.
Absolutely, absolutely. Now that, if you have like a pick at the end of the round, you can bang that out, and it's really not a terrible move. The only downside about that is that you've limited your upside, and you also put yourself in a situation where, God forbid, if they split, now you need a tight end.
Yes.
Because you could end up with, if they, like, say they're playing 50% snaps each one, then you might have an issue. But I do like the idea in general. You know what? If you're in a really deep league, Jim, and you've got an end pick where you can bang out two in a row.
Yeah.
If I had, like, say I had O.J. Howard, who I love but does have some injury risk.
Yep.
Then maybe adding the Carolina pair late. And you know, by week three, I'll know which one I want to cut.
Yep.
I could see that.
I like that. And again, don't be afraid of getting the guys that you might cut, because it happens every year. The waiver wire will be stacked. It'll be stacked.
Right.
You're gonna need guys you can cut.
For those who may have listened to the Rotobon Draft Plan, it's a podcast. It's been posted. It's easy to find. It's on my website, rotobon.com. I really stress that. If you're going to miss hard, miss strong, go for it. The best misses are the ones that give you clarity early in the season. Like, if you know it's a miss week one, that's good, because now you're going to be able to lean in on the best guys in free agency, and they're going to be good. You are going to want to drop some major money either week one, two, or three. It's almost a 100% proposition. So having guys who will either be clean hits or clean misses is going to make you a strong player in early free agency. And the people who hit well in early free agency are almost always teams that make the playoffs.
Yeah, and just if you need like a mathematical equation for proof, let me give it to you. Pete and I did a draft last week. We draft 300 players. It's 12 teams. The rosters are 25 deep. No sooner than the end of the draft did enough news happen that the free agent wire is going to be humming, you know. So,
and that's in a crazy deep.
That's in a crazy deep league. We draft 300 players, and we don't draft a kicker, by the way. It's double flex, and you have a defense, okay? So Luck retires. No one drafted Jacoby Brissett.
Right.
We got a couple people who are a little bit light at quarterback.
It's a single QB leagues.
Yeah, single. Right. So he's going to go. And then, like, you know, news out of Tampa Bay, at running back, you know, you've got Bruce Arians there. He's going to be looking for creative solutions.
You know, I thought somebody drafted Agunbowale, however you say it.
Agunbowale.
Thank you.
I don't think so.
Oh, I see.
I think, yeah, he's out there. I think the...
he's mine.
You're in a battle with me, man. I'm going to go for him. No, the other kind of difficult to pronounce African name was a receiver that got taken. I'll get back to that.
Okay.
But I do believe, I'm going to very easily... Salabali here. I'm going to say I messed it up. Agunbowale. That's him from Tampa Bay.
That actually sounded right.
I think I got it.
We'll work on it. We're going to get it eventually. Hey, look, this kid could end up being the third down back on this team. He's got some size to him.
They're not going to lean on Andre Ellington with all the injuries he's had. No way.
Not at this point. And, you know, it's not like the early down guys are locked to take that. So for all we know, this guy could get some of the early down work. I definitely like targeting him late in drafts right now, especially if it's PPR format.
Yeah, no doubt. So we're going to end up a little business here and just say, look, great luck in your drafts. Go get them. Be aggressive. And look for the updates. You know, so WEEI does a great job putting our stuff out there at WEEI on Twitter. Pete puts all of his stuff, not only from WEEI, but at Rotobon, at Rotobon on Twitter. And then I'm the mad retweeter at WEEI Hacksaw. But I've got my own original thoughts that you'll see as well. But this show will be out there. We'll pump it out. And, you know, just be aggressive. Look for the values. Strike while they're there. And know there's plenty of talent out there. Don't be afraid to take risks. Take them, because the waiver wire is going to be humming all year long.
Right, especially in the last four rounds.
Yeah, no, absolute guarantee. Go get Josh Gordon. All right, we'll talk to you next week, everybody, and great luck in your fantasy football draft.
At Vistaprint, we know you've got that idea for your business, like the one that nails the trade show, levels up your brand, or makes your team say,
"We're really doing this."
But an idea is just an idea until it's printed on
signage, giveaways, custom apparel.
Once it's
in my hands, on my team, out in the world,
then it's happening.
It's so happening.
Vistaprint has thousands of products, easy design tools, and real support to turn that idea into something possible. Print your possible with code NEW20 for 20% off your first order at Vistaprint.com.
Spring is finally here, and it's that time of year when plans start becoming real. Trips are getting booked, the calendar is filling up, and the energy is shifting. Make this season count. By starting right now, you'll hit summer already feeling more confident speaking and understanding a brand new language. Whether you're prepping for a dream vacation, reconnecting with your family heritage, or just finally checking learn a new language off your bucket list, Rosetta Stone is the way to go. They've been the trusted leader in language learning for over 30 years because they skip the boring stuff. There's no memorizing random vocabulary lists or leaning on chunky translations. Instead, their intuitive method helps you naturally absorb the language by connecting words and visuals to real-world meaning. It's about learning in context, the way language was actually meant to be learned. As a trusted expert with millions of users, Rosetta Stone offers 25 different languages, including Spanish, French, German, Japanese, and more. It really is the ultimate tool for genuine growth. Ready to start learning a new language this spring? Visit rosettastone.com/RS10 today to explore Rosetta Stone and choose the language that's right for you. Go to rosettastone.com/RS10 now and begin your language learning journey.
The days are longer, the calendar's filling up, and I want to feel as good as this beautiful summer weather. That's why I've been loving Grooms. It's one daily pack of gummies that covers my greens, vitamins, minerals, and even has 6 grams of prebiotic fiber. So I don't need to juggle a complicated wellness routine on top of everything else. They taste amazing. They're easy to toss in my bag on the go. Plus, they're vegan, gluten-free, and HSA FSA eligible for reimbursement. Save up to 52% off with code PODCAST at Grooms.co. That's code PODCAST at GRUNS.co. nerdwallet.co.
Nerds!
Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Personal finance can feel like a pop quiz you didn't study for. This podcast is your study guide. On NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast, you'll hear from trusted journalists who explain the why behind major financial decisions. You'll get research-backed insights and clear pros and cons, whether you're planning a big purchase or just want to grow your wealth. Make your next financial move with confidence. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast on your favorite podcast app.
Nobody gets into maintenance for the paperwork, but somewhere along the way, the clipboards piled up and the spreadsheets multiplied. Good technicians spend hours per day on admin instead of turning a wrench. MaintainX was built to give that time back. Preventative maintenance runs on a real schedule, automated, assigned, and nothing slipping through. With MaintainX, work orders go out in seconds, and everyone from the floor to the front office knows what's due and when. So your team gets back to the machines, not the paperwork. Over 14,000 companies are already running on MaintainX because the people who keep the world running deserve tools that actually work. Try MaintainX free at MaintainX.com. That's MaintainX.com, an Autodesk company.
At Vistaprint, we know you've got that idea for your business, like the one that nails the trade show, levels up your brand, or makes your team say,
"We're really doing this."
But an idea is just an idea until it's printed on
signage, giveaways, custom apparel.
Once it's
in my hands, on my team, out in the world,
then it's happening.
It's so happening.
Vistaprint has thousands of products, easy design tools, and real support to turn that idea into something possible. Print your possible with code NEW20 for 20% off your first order at Vistaprint.com.
Nerds.
Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Ever Google a money question and end up 12 tabs deep with 12 different answers? This podcast is your shortcut back to clarity. NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast breaks down financial decisions with a team of trusted journalists. They explain the why behind decisions like investing, home buying, and choosing credit cards with clear, research-backed insights. No jargon, no misinformation. Make your next financial move with confidence. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast on your favorite podcast app.
Girl, let's get real. Some pads are just diapers with a good PR team, but not the new Kotex BioCare. That's because Kotex BioCare helps defend against odor and irritants. And it's the first and only pad with this pH proactive system that helps optimize the pad's pH. Just think of it as self-care for down there. Check out Kotex.com for more details on the all-new Kotex, completely redesigned to meet your needs. You asked, we heard.
Nobody gets into maintenance for the paperwork, but somewhere along the way, the clipboards piled up and the spreadsheets multiplied. Good technicians spend hours per day on admin instead of turning a wrench. MaintainX was built to give that time back. Preventative maintenance runs on a real schedule, automated, assigned, and nothing slipping through. With MaintainX, work orders go out in seconds, and everyone from the floor to the front office knows what's due and when. So your team gets back to the machines, not the paperwork. Over 14,000 companies are already running on MaintainX because the people who keep the world running deserve tools that actually work. Try MaintainX free at MaintainX.com. That's MaintainX.com, an Autodesk company.
This is the sound of captivity. This is the sound of rescue. And this is the sound of freedom. Give Armenia's captive bears a second chance by supporting International Animal Rescue. Call 508-826-1083 or search The Great Bear Rescue to learn more.